The Morrison government's proposal for independent assessments in the National Disability Insurance Scheme is facing a fresh hurdle, with a Liberal senator adding her voice to the growing criticism of the plan. Trials of the three-hour appointments are currently underway, with a panel to provide a panel of private providers assessing a client's eligibility for the NDIS scheme rather than the person's own doctor. Liberal Senator Holly Hughes is the mother of an 11-year-old boy with autism. His name is Fred. Senator Holly Hughes, welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish. And he'd want me to let you know he's 12 this week.
Oh, congratulations to Fred then. That is good news and a very important detail. What's your experience been with the NDIS? How has it changed Fred's life before we get to the specifics of this policy change?
Yeah, look, I'm a massive fan of the NDIS. So when Fred was first diagnosed, it didn't exist. And so, you know, my ex-husband and I were forced at the time to basically liquidate everything we owned to pay for his therapy, because intensive early intervention is expensive, it's difficult, but there was nothing like the NDIS in place. So the NDIS is a game changer for families. It's just, it's incredible. But we've been through the whole gamut.
In a practical sense, though, I mean, what is a day in Fred's life like? How does the NDIS interact with his world?
Well, I mean, he has a lot of supports, both formal and informal, so through family and friends as well as through support workers. But it's varied from when he was very young and nonverbal and very, you know, in himself, to him now being quite a gregarious little boy who is on the cusp of teenagehood. So all of those things are different. So we've gone through teaching him to every colour, every ball. So with autism, kids don't generalise. So when you teach them, you know, kids learn what a ball is, but they understand there's a difference between a tennis ball, a golf ball, a football, a netball, a soccer ball. Our kids don't get that. So in the very early days, we were teaching him all of those different skills. You know, we had to teach him how to get dressed, you know, all things like toilet training and sitting at a dinner table. All of those things take a lot of time and are broken down into little skills. Most people don't realise there's 9 steps to washing your hands. And we taught him every single one of those steps individually. So it's very intensive at the beginning to learn those independent living skills. But then when you get older, it's more about focus and attention and how do you participate in a conversation appropriately. So you want Fred to walk into school today and when someone says, what did you do for the weekend, him to respond, but for them, him to sort of engage in some conversation, because quite frankly, at the moment, he doesn't really care what anyone else did on the weekend. So, you know, it's teaching all of those skills to make sure that, you know, he can have as full a life as possible. We teach him to use money to cross the road, to use an Opal card. All of those things aren't picked up by observation, and I guess that's the difference.
And you did have an experience, though, with the NDIS where the bulk of what you were receiving was taken away for a period.
Yeah, so our first plan, we self-managed, so we managed it to the dollar and we used it for his program that we'd already been running. And, you know, my mistake, went into our planning meeting saying, we've had a great year. This is so good. We've made all of these steps forward. This is what's next. He was only, I mean, I've been trying to think, I think he was about 7 at the time. And we were, you know, what's next? This is what we're going to work on next year. And, you know, I met this woman who had zero experience in autism, zero experience really in any sort of she wasn't an allied health professional. And she cut, you know, her recommendation was cut the plan by 3/4. So we lost 75% of our funding. So we had to then go through a review. And when we got to the reviewer stage, they said, well, you know, actually, why would this have happened? And we were reinstated to a figure that was a little, actually a bit more than our first plan. But, you know, so we've been through the ringer, like so many families who experience the NDIS. And this is one of the things that I've been talking to the new minister about, is we've got to change the conversation. We have to start celebrating success and saying, you did a great job this year. How do we keep going? Not people going in and talking about deficits and failures and all of the functional challenges they still have. You know, the minister made the point to me, we've had an assessment, we've looked at this, people are less functional. Well, I think people are less functional in the NDIS because they're saying they're less functional. Because if they say they've made gains, they take money away.
Yeah, right. So in terms of these proposed independent assessments, and there has been a trial of this, the intention the government says is to make the system fairer and sustainable. What's your response to that?
Well, I think for a start, the people that are most focused on the sustainability of the schemes are the parents of kids with a disability and people with a disability, because we need it to succeed more than any bureaucrat needs the job in the agency. So we need it. So it's getting a little bit insulting that it's consistently looking at the participants and saying, you know, we need this to be sustainable. No one's looking at the providers who are charging, you know, obscene amounts of money in some cases for appointments, who are, you know, we know providers go to rural and remote areas or travel somewhere and see four or five clients and then charge the NDIA five times, or those participants, five times for travel. That's not ensuring sustainability. So, you know, there's a whole lot of things that need to be focused on. We've also got a situation, and you know, the states don't get off the hook here. The states have dropped the ball when it comes to diagnosis. So the Morrison government put in place the early childhood pathway. So kids are getting into the NDIS without a diagnosis.
Okay. I just want to draw you back to this idea of independent assessments. I'm aware that many of our listeners won't necessarily be familiar with what is being trialled and what it would mean.
Well, the independent assessments are basically at the moment, and the minister has said that they're not going to go forward in this format, which is a relief, because what they've been have been basically a ticker box. And so it's been people who are allied health professionals, not with any necessary experience in a person's disability, and going in and asking a very set standard of questions and asking them to perform a set series of tasks. So these tasks could be peeling a piece of fruit or vegetable over the sink, making a cup of tea, taking the bin out. And then there's questions like, in the past 30 days, have you needed support to maintain a friendship, to conduct sexual activity? Now, you want to be a 23-year-old man with autism and be asked those questions in front of your mum? Probably not. And you're not going to be asked them anywhere else in your life, or you're not going to be asked them if you're not a person if you don't have a disability, no one's going to ask you those questions. So the questions were invasive, they were inappropriate, but on top of that, they had nothing to do with what a person's goals were. And that's what the NDIS is about. At its centre, it's how do people have their best life? What do they want to do? Do they want to study? Do they want to get back into employment or start employment? Do they want to, you know, participate in community activities? Well, you know, those things don't have anything to do with it for a lot of people. And so there was zero application.
It sounds like the government's pretty out of touch with the needs of the people that are meant to benefit from this scheme.
Yeah, well, the National Disability Insurance Agency is quite standalone. So rather than the government being out of touch, I'd like to suggest perhaps it's some in the agency that are more out of touch. The government is certainly looking
but
to
hold
how
on.
We can improve
the government has been driving part of these changes. I mean, it's not like the government can walk away from responsibility on everything and blame bureaucrats. I mean,
well,
the government will ultimately decide.
It is driven by a CEO and a board. No, it is driven by a CEO and a board, and that there is with the government there. So look, yeah. There's obviously government oversight, but there is a CEO and a board, and they have their own obligations. But at the end of the day, it's about getting this right. And, you know, if we're going to, I really don't want to start, he said, she said, this is her fault, that's his fault. We just need to fix it. And we need to fix it so that people aren't feeling like they're begging for their supports, that families aren't made to feel that if they celebrate a child's success at meeting some goals, that they're going to be punished for it. And we need to treat people as individuals and make sure that their goals are being supported, not what some ticker box. And, you know, someone who may have finished a speech therapy degree 3 weeks ago and is given 24 hours. We know, we've been told by the agency that they're getting 24 hours of additional training. Well, quite frankly, my senior behavioural therapist who's been with us for over 10 years has a much better idea of what Fred can and can't do and what he needs support to get to the next steps than, you know, a 20-year-old speech therapist who's never met anyone with autism before.
Linda Reynolds, though, the new minister, says she does want genuine consultation. Last week it emerged that the NDIA had received a marketing strategy, I'm sure you're aware of this, to convince Australians to support the proposed changes. It said the federal government must be seen to have listened to concerns of disability groups. It doesn't sound all that genuine on the face of it.
No, well, that was given to the government and I am aware of it, and I was very vocal last week in saying not on NDIA, and if it was a consultant that gave you this genius idea, maybe that consultant should be moved on. There seems to be within the agency too much focus on consultant reports and what they seem to think. You know, if we want to talk about sustainability, let's have a look at how many management consultants are in the NDIA every day telling them how they can best manage things. People that aren't focused on disability, but people are focused on, you know, actuarial algorithms. And that report saying that the government needs to be seen to be listening, I can assure you, anyone that takes notice of that will be not having some pleasant conversations, I'm sure, with me and a whole lot of people in the disability sector, because being seen to be listened to, we're a little bit smarter than that, and we're a little bit sick of being treated like we're not.
Senator Holly Hughes, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Hamish.
We should also flag that we've been seeking an interview with Minister Reynolds about this. We do think there are some legitimate questions to put to the Minister. We renew our invitation for an interview on this program anytime this week.